Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the SAF Holland conference call regarding the announcement of the preliminary results for the third quarter 2017. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now hand the floor over to Mr. Stefan Haas.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stefan Haas speaking from the Investor Relations Department of SAF Holland. First of all, thanks a lot for attending today's conference call on short notice. The reason why we're doing that today is we have released preliminary key financial figures for the third quarter. The full Q3 figures will come on November 9th. So today you will see a selection of the key financial figures. And at the occasion of the outcome of Q3, we've also decided to adjust the outlook for the full business year, which affects the sales guidance, but also the earnings guidance, specifically the adjusted EBIT margin. And with that, I would like to hand over to Mr. Burkhard. Thank you.
Yeah, Stefan, thanks a lot. Also from my side, this is Detlef Burkhard, and a very warm welcome to our today's conference call. Yeah, I would like to guide you through the presentation today on the first couple of bullet points, and then further on, Matthias Heiden, our CFO, will take over. With this, I would like to go to page number two of the presentation with the agenda for today. I'm going to start with the business summary, with the guidance adjustment, as already indicated by Mr. Haas. I will talk about the status quo of our U.S. plant consolidation, where are we, and what's going to happen. Then later on, Matthias will talk about the preliminary key financial figures in Q3 this year, and I will do the update of the company outlook and the action plan with the next steps. So first bullet point is the business summary. I will jump right to page number four of the presentation. Guidance adjustment is the headline, and I'm going to guide you through that. There are three points. First of all, based on our preliminary unaudited Q3 2017 figures and expected further developments for the rest of the year, SAF Holland, we adjust our sales and earnings outlook for the full business year 2017. Due to our very strong organic sales revenue trend after the first 9 months this year, based on very high customer demand, especially from U.S. both truck and trailer customers in the third quarter this year, and consistently strong markets in China, we step up our sales forecast for 2017. And you see that now in red, highlighted in red. We see sales development now between 1.125 million-1.135 million euros. Previously, we talked about the tending closer to the upper end of the range of 1.06 billion-1.09 billion. So you can see a very nice upper trend, as we can see. On the third bullet point here, this is a little bit more negative. Considering our group adjusted EBIT margin, we still expect that this margin to come in within our 8%-9% range or corridor. But yet, from today's point of view, we see it tending rather to the lower end of the planned margin of 8% to 9%. And previously, we said we are tending towards the midpoint of this range. On page number five, the next page, I will talk a little bit more about the details, talking especially about the third quarter this year. In 2017, third quarter 2017, our sales grows by 8.3%, reaching an historical highest Q3 sales ever. We will approximately end this quarter with 277.1 million euros. Previous year, it was 255.8 million. Organic sales only growth increased by approximately 9.6%, so almost 10%, and with this, much higher than we expected. The adjusted EBIT for the third quarter 2017 will come in at 20.9 million euros. Previous year, it was 21.6 million, so a little bit higher than Q3 this year. Our adjusted EBIT margin came in at 7.5%, last year, the same time it was 8.4, which is lower than anticipated, most of all due to the swift increase in demand from our US customers, both on the truck and trailer side, which coincide with a late stage transition measuring from our US plant consolidation. I will talk about it later on more in detail. Circa approximately 4 million euro burden from the temporarily higher operating costs relating to our US plant consolidation, which were not adjusted for. We have 3 million euros in one-time restructuring costs related to this plant consolidation that were adjusted for, a total of 4 million euros. And last but not least, the reported EBIT is approximately 15.6 million compared with 17.1 million in the previous year. Yeah, as you can see, the majority of the deviation comes from the US, from North America. We report in regions, and US is a pretty big region, and this is mainly due to our US plant consolidation. And on the next page, page number 7, I would like to remind you what we are doing right now within this plant consolidation. You can call it from 7 to 5. Why is this? Because right now we run 7 factories in North America, in US. There's one more in Canada, which is not part of the plant consolidation. So, and out of the 7, we will close 2 and 5 factories will remain. As you can see on the map here, our 2 factories in Muskegon and Holland, both in West Michigan, these production locations will be closed, and we will transfer all the equipment to our group locations in Dumas, which is in Arkansas, to Cincinnati in Ohio, Warrington, Missouri, and Wiley, Texas. Why we are doing this? We are going to pool our product areas, and the remaining locations are closer to our bigger truck and trailer customers, and that, of course, allows to reduce delivery times, and that will also relate in lower freight costs. So just as a reminder, what we are doing with the plant consolidation, and at the end of this, we expect to have a higher capacity, being more efficient, have lower cost, more flexible, even with higher quality, and as I said, closer to our customers. On the next page, page number 8, you see the timeline, which is, of course, very important in a plant consolidation like this. As you can see, the first bullet point on the left-hand side, the Holland production plant is already closed. End of September, so a couple of days ago, we locked the door, and this plant is empty now. All the machinery, all the equipment is moved to the remaining facilities, and the people are not on the on our list anymore. So next one is then to close the Muskegon production plant. This will be done until December this year, until end of this year. So we will overall be on time with our overall plant consolidation in North America. Why we are doing this? Just some numbers. We plan to increase our profitability. It will be effective in 2018. And as we always said, the plant cost savings will be around $5 million. We have some one-time restructuring costs, as you can see in the text further below. For the full year 2017, this is expected now to reach something between $11 and $12 million. Previously, we thought about $10 million, which we will increase now slightly, as I said, to something between $11 and $12 million. So overall, yes, we are faced with issues regarding our plant consolidation. Of course, to move machinery, equipment, and people while you have a very high order intake, this is very difficult to manage. We are doing this, and most important is we will be done end of this year. This is very important for us that we keep the overall timeline. Yeah, with this, I would like to hand over to Matthias Heiden to talk about the numbers preliminary for Q3 2017.
Yes, thank you, Detlef, and good afternoon, everybody, also from my side. I will be looking at the development of sales in the third quarter to start out with, as Detlef already stated. Our top line in Q3 increased by 8.3% year over year to 277.1 million, with a strong organic growth of 9.6% in the third quarter, following an organic growth of 7.1% in the second quarter of this year. This time around, the translational effect from FX turned negative with minus 2.6%, and we had a positive contribution from the KLL acquisition of 1.3%, which completes the bridge from the 9.6% organic growth to the 8.3% actual growth that I stated earlier, and thus the bridge from 255.8 to 277.1. If we now have a closer look at the preliminary organic growth across the region, there is a positive message, and that is that the positive trend in organic sales growth in all reporting regions continued. It is noteworthy that in particular in the Americas region, which we're discussing a lot today, our organic sales growth picked up by 6.4% in the third quarter, after 5.4% in the second quarter of this year. As you can see on the slide, and as for APEC China and EMEA India, we continue to show solid growth, and in Europe in particular, a very solid growth development at a high level. If we now move from the top line a little bit into the P&L, and here most significantly to the profitability situation, I would like to do so on the next slide in continuing the reporting format that we have offered to yourselves ever since the first quarter, i.e. in the consistent format. Q3 2017, our preliminary gross profit stands at 46.5 million euro with a gross margin of 16.8% compared to 19% in the previous year. This is mainly due to a disproportionate increase in cost of sales by more than 11% year over year versus a sales growth of 8.3% as stated. Again, mainly due to the U.S. Just to mention some factors, you can see the list of qualitative factors on the right-hand side of the slide. Temporarily higher number of workers, significantly higher expedited freight costs due to seasonally untypical soaring of customer call-offs coinciding with our planned consolidation. However, allow me to also point out two additional influencing factors, namely the continued burden from scrap steel price development and an unfavorable product and customer mix. Overall, you can see that the Q3 gross profit is burdened with 4 million in restructuring overall, plus an additional 4 million higher operating costs in the United States. And in order to allow you to put that into additional perspective and for the sake of full transparency, the 4 million euro additional operating costs split themselves roughly into 45% on the freight side of the house and 55% on the employee side of the house. Lastly, but by no means least, I would like to build on what I have just said so far and would like to close by looking at the reconciliation between reported EBIT and adjusted EBIT. If we exclude the restructuring and transaction costs totaling 4 million euro compared to 3.3 last year, and the purchase price allocation effects of 1.3 million compared to 1.2 last year, the adjusted EBIT amounted to 20.9 million euro compared to 21.6 million euro. The adjustments, as stated, are in large part due to the U.S. And with that little preliminary run through parts of the P&L, as far as they are available as of today already, I would like to turn it back to Detlef.
Yeah, Mattia, thanks a lot for your precise information or additional information. I would like to draw your attention on our company outlook. I'm on page 15 of the presentation with the financial targets for 2017. So let me start with the last two lines, CAPEX and network capital ratio. This is unchanged. It's CAPEX between 28 and 31 million this year, and net working capital will come in at the end of the year between 12 and 13%. So what's new now? Starting with the sales, with the top line, we said prior to that 1,060 to 1,090 million, as I said earlier, and now according to the our outlook, what we see, we will end this year somewhere between 1.125 and 1.135 million euro, of course, assuming stable FX rates and unchanged scope of consolidation. On the profitability side, the adjusted EBIT margin, we said so far tending towards the midpoint of the range 8 to 9%. And now with the new numbers, we see from today's standpoint tending towards the lower end of this range between 8 and 9%. On the next page, page 16, I would like to spend a second on our long-term target regarding our strategy 2020. And what you can see here on this overview is our sales development in the last years and what to come. Just as a reminder, after the crisis 2008, 2009, in 2010, we did 631 million euros in sales with a very nice increase 2011, 2012 and the following years. End of 2014, early 2015, we announced our 2020 target. And in 2015, we jumped over the 1 billion. And just as a reminder for everybody, between 2010 and 2011, we presented our strategy 2015. And at that point of time, we said, okay, in 2015, we will reach the 1 billion and we'll do it with a profitability between 9 and 10%. So we came out 2015 with 1,061 and with 8.9%, so almost 9%. So the target 2010 for 2015 we reached in 2015, and now the new target for 2020 is 1.5 billion in total sales, organically 1.25 billion, give or take, and with a new outlook now for 2017 with the 1125 to 1135, you can see we are absolutely on track to reach our targets for 2020 on the organic sales side. This is a very nice and great development to come closer to this target. Okay, what's next? Action plan, next steps. I go to the last page of today's presentation, page number 18. There are a couple of bullet points. First of all, closing of the plant consolidation measures 7 to 5 until year end. As I said, we will be done at the end of the year. This is for me a given thing, and we will have no deviations from that. We expect normalization of our production schedules, and of course we are going to optimize our capacity utilization. By the way, this high order intake, this is something which we can handle normally without really big headache, because this is the nature of our business. We are in somewhat volatile markets, and order intake is sometimes higher, sometimes lower. Pre-warning from customers is always very little, but we know how to handle it. This is not an unknown situation for us, and this is our daily life. But of course, in combination with the running plant consolidation in US, this is difficult to handle. At the end of the plant consolidation, we will have pooled production by product groups. And as I said earlier, we will be much closer to our customer, to main customer hubs. We have approximately 3 million euros in investment in additional equipment for an additional manufacturing line for trailer axles and suspensions. This is to come. This is not decided yet, but this is something we see for next year, somewhere middle of next year, for our trailer axle plant in Warrington. This is because we see a high demand for our trailer axle suspensions, especially for the new ones we presented to our customers last year, also with a new wheel end. And if this will continue with increasing market shares and within a very stable North American trailer market, we see this additional investment to come to create higher capacity, which is, of course, a luxury problem to have. Next one is we need to focus on our improved mix. And you see that realizing aftermarket backlog. What does it mean? Of course, in these days, when OEMs are crying for material, crying for axles, suspensions, fifth wheels, kingpins, couplers, etc., we serve them first. This is good for the OEM customers because we cannot stop their production line, but this is not good for our P&L because if we don't serve our aftermarket customers, these are the products with higher margins, and this is, of course, an additional burden which we need to handle, which we need to manage. But in the moment when we can fulfill the demands of our OE customers in a certain way, then we also will fill the aftermarket orders, and the backlog will be hopefully done early next year. But of course, as I said, this is another burden. We will realize the approximately $5 million in savings in next year. There's no change on that. And next thing to do is after we did the plant consolidation this year, for next year, we are going to merge our two headquarters. One is in Markegen, one is in Holland. The Holland one will be closed as well. In Holland is, for example, IT. There are a lot of support functions. There is a test lab. There are R&D engineers. All this will move to our remaining site in Muskegon, and then in the future, that means from 2018 on, after we did all these merging activities, we will have only one headquarter, which also leads in further cost reductions. With this, I'm done with it today, or we are done with today's presentation. I would like to point out once again, all of the effects we see now in Q3, these are temporarily one-offs. We will not see that next year. It will continue in Q4. This is important to say. We are not done with this. The order intake is even increasing more, and we need to handle that. We need to manage that as we can do. But these are one-time effects. I believe that is important to mention once again. Yeah, with this, we are at the end of the presentation, and Stefan, I believe we are open for questions.
Yeah.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and the star key on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to withdraw your question, please press 9 and star again. Please press 9 and star to state your questions. And first up is Christian Ludwig from Bankhaus Lampe. Please, it's your turn now.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Christian Ludwig, Bankhaus Lampe. A couple of questions from my side. First of all, Mr. Borkhardt, you said the order intake in NAFTA is increasing further. How sure can you be that going into next year, assuming your new plants are up and running, you will not need also additional temps and potentially have additional costs for higher freights to deal with this higher order intake?
Yeah, guten Tag, Herr Ludwig. That's a good question. As I said, this is something we normally handle without really big headache, and you normally don't even see that, because this is a part of our business. If order intake will increase further, our capacity will be sufficient to meet the demand of our customers, except, as I said, for trailer axle suspensions, especially on the air suspension side, we need to increase further our capacity, as I said, but this is to come. For all the other products, and mainly I'm talking about fifth wheels, couplers, and truck suspensions, the capacity is sufficient and will be sufficient even for even more higher order intake. And if we need to hire then additional people, this is something which we do. This is then part of our variable cost, and every euro or dollar, on the top line will create, of course, higher profitability on the EBIT line. So I don't see any issues with it.
So do you think a 10% adjusted EBIT margin for the America business is realistic for next year?
That's far too early to talk about this.
Okay. Next question. A couple of months back, you were a little bit careful about the development of the European market, especially going into next year. Now it sounds like that Europe is holding up very well. How is your view going into next year? Is this going to continue?
Sure. According to our customers, and we are in daily discussions with them, everything is how do we say in German? Alles ist gut. Everything is good. The fleets are ordering. The OEMs, both on the truck and trailer side, are fully loaded. There is, I see no sign of weakness so far. It's what you can see right now, and we are in October. It looks like next year could be another good year in Europe, both for truck and trailer.
Okay. And then last question from my end. Quick update on Turkey with all the political issues going on. What is the update status on your new plant there?
Nothing changed from our last call when we presented our Q2 numbers. The plant is running in one shift, which is great. We use all the capacity that's highly utilized on one shift. It's too early to decide on the two-shift operations for now, but order intake is stable. The plant is almost done until end of this year, with orders mainly from countries outside Turkey. So this is still on a high level. Turkey itself is still very quiet. I just have a meeting with our Turkish managing director. He said 50-60% down the Turkish market, and we see no signs of recovery. But that might change for next year. But again, this is too early to say. So far, Turkey, the plant makes money, and I'm quite happy with that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
And the next questioner is Philip Lorrain from Berenberg.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Philip Lorrain from Berenberg. I've got a couple of questions as well. The first one is, why do you increase the guidance for the restructuring costs that are related to the plant consolidation? I mean, you mentioned in the presentation that they increased from about $10 million to 11 to 12. Perhaps ask differently, what are these incremental 1 to 2 million of restructuring costs related to? That's the first question.
Should I take that, Detlef?
Yeah, please. I'm just going to take a deep breath and answer, but if you are faster, then please answer.
I'm just so eager to explain it. Philippe, bonjour. Thanks very much for the question, which is a great follow-up indeed. There is one very simple reason and a very prudent reason from my perspective, because year to date we have already booked $9.7 million for the plant consolidation. And remember that our guidance has always been that we spend around $10 million this year. So we looked at what is left to come for the remainder of the year, and that is why we increased the guidance on what we will spend on the plant consolidation. Now, as to the reasons, this is exactly what we tried to describe earlier in the presentation. It is, for one, the employees that are staying on for longer. And then ultimately, of course, a change in the severance structure as they stay on longer. And that overall, without going into too much detail, will lead to those additional $1 to $2 million, US dollars.
Okay, thank you very much for that explanation. And then I've got a quick question as well on the fact that you mentioned that you had, in that picture showing the different drivers for the gross margin, you mentioned that you have a negative product and customer mix as well in Q3 that was weighing on your profitability. I mean, does it just mean that actually the split between OE and aftermarket was, let's say, in favor of the OE business in Q3? Or within the OE business, did you have as well perhaps some product mix effects towards, let's say, more fifth wheels versus suspension?
Yeah, maybe I can answer. Yes, you are right with both. Aftermarket share is not that high because, as I explained before, we served our OE customers first, which always is a burden for the overall profitability. And that's always the same, unfortunately. And the second thing is, yes, product mix was not the optimum. A lot of fifth wheels, not so much truck suspensions, and this is always the same in times like this. If the market picks up, then customers, fleets mainly our standard trucks or standard trailers, that means standard fifth wheels, etc. And all these came normally in with lower margins. These are no specialty products with high margins. So this is, always the same. If markets pick up, the customer and product mix is not the best. But I have to say that, always the same. If we have high volume, if we pump a lot of components into the market, years later the aftermarket will kick in. So we always see that with two different eyes. But overall, yes, this is the explanation.
Okay, thank you very much. And then perhaps a last question for Matthias. Would you share with us an update on your net working capital development? Because, I mean, we've seen a very sharp demand, rise in demand in the U.S., and perhaps I thought it might result in, let's say, a further decline in your inventories of finished goods. Also, perhaps it had an impact on your receivables. So if you could give us some color here, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, Philip, I will try. Given that we're currently only looking at the preliminary figures, I do not have the final status in the closing process of the third quarter yet, but allow me to maybe share some more general comments with you, which hopefully will be helpful to you and the rest of the audience. And that is that the upswing on the revenue side, the increasing customer demand, will of course come with additional working capital requirements because production is increasing, so I need more material to serve customer needs. And from what we see today, and you see this reflected in the increased revenue guidance, which for us means we'll be very busy way into December, and so I will need a lot of material in order to do that. On the receivable side, you know that this is always a timing mechanism as to when in the quarter this comes in terms of the revenue. We have exercised this twice already with you this year. The same holds true also for the third quarter. But overall, if I draw a line and sum it up, I'm still confident with my target corridor that Detlef also had on the slide that he presented with regard to the full year guidance and our net working capital ratio. It is too early at this point to pinpoint this to whereabouts in the corridor, so I ask for your understanding on this. You know, we said earlier in the year that we would probably come to a free cash flow of somewhere around 40 million. Given what I said just now, I believe we will come in a little bit below, to be perfectly honest. But please bear with me. It is a little bit too early right now. Maybe we can rediscuss the question when we present the numbers in November, and I'll be happy to shed more light on it.
Okay, thank you very much for that precise answer. Just perhaps a quick extent where you internally really surprised by these results in the U.S. And I mean, I ask the question just because I have the impression back in 2013 when we had the government shutdown in the U.S. And the company hosted the Capital Markets Day, I think at the end of November or beginning of December. And a few weeks later, there was this disappointment due to the fact that the reporting figures for the month of November had not come through. So I'm just wondering, did you change any reporting structures inside the group, or do you plan to do so in order to have perhaps access to the sensible data in a better, let's say, in a better time frame?
According, Matthias, let me answer this. No, we have nothing in mind like this, as you said. We will not change any reporting structures, but no.
Okay, thank you. I'm back to the queue.
Okay, thanks.
At the moment, there seem to be no further questions. So for any additional questions, please press 9 and the star key. And the next questioner is Christian Breitsprecher from Macquarie. May we have your question, please?
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Christian Breitsprecher from Macquarie. I have just a follow-up question on the increase in the restructuring expense. You mentioned that part of that is, you know, that people have to stay on longer, which I think is related to the fact that you have more orders than expected. So I was wondering, how does that then split between your restructuring expenses that you are adjusting and the cost overruns that you are not adjusting? So I'm a bit lost between what you adjust and what you don't, and what really has changed in the parameters there. Thanks.
Yeah, maybe I can take a stab at that. And Christian, good afternoon to you. Thank you for the question. Because this goes probably back to a mixture of things that both Detlef and I said, and I will pick up and build on the comment that Detlef made earlier with regard to some of this continuing into Q4. And I had then said, think about approximately $2 million US on top in restructuring, which was the answer to Philippe's question on the business case. In terms of the operating cost, Christian, you can think about this in the following way, with an additional higher operating cost in the single-digit million US region. This is what we wouldn't adjust, similar to what we explained about Q3.
Okay, but in terms of the increase in restructuring expense that we have for the full year, that also results in a higher adjustment figure, correct?
That is correct. That is the change in the guidance that we gave from the one-time spend of around $10 million to now $11 to $12 million. Closer to the $12 million US dollars for the plant consolidation, which we have always restructured.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
If you have any additional questions, please press 9 and star. Gentlemen, there are no further questions.
So if there are no further questions at that time, then we would like to conclude today's conference call. Thank you for joining. And as always, if you have any follow-up questions later on, just feel free to contact the company almost any time. Thank you. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.